And our next case for this morning actually is roughly arising out of the same thing. It's case number 4, Michael Needle, PC against Cozen O'Connor. This one is 19-2241. I should say case number 3 was 18-2850. And for case number 4, 19-2241, we will once again hear first from Mr. Fusco.
Thank you, Your Honor. This particular case concerns legal fees being paid to a firm that withdrew from a case after 2 months.
So, can you explain
to me? Did you ever argue to the district court that Cozen lacked good cause to withdraw and therefore was not entitled to a lien? And if you did, where is that in the record?
I believe that is in the record before Judge Pallmeyer. I cannot cite specific citation to that, Your Honor, but it was argued. Let me look through I'm looking for the brief right now to see where that point is, but it was argued down below, Your Honor.
Is Needle PC or whoever the client is making this argument because if you get rid of Cozen's lien and somehow prevail on something else, there'll be money in it for you? I'm trying to figure out what's your interest, since it seems that Mayor Brown's perfected lien, which was superior to the Cozen lien, has already eaten up all the funds.
All the funds are, that is part of it, Your Honor. When you look at the total breakdown of the monies in both cases, it turns out that Mr. Needle ends up with virtually nothing.
And is it the fact that Cozen has a judgment against Mr. Needle or his company
That is part of the concern, in that we believe the judgment was an error because...
So you're just trying to eliminate the liability of the judgment?
Yes.
I mean, you're not, because Mayor Brown has the money, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the argument here is that this should have never been... He withdrew after 2 months, did not do much work. The only work that was done was something that was not submitted to us, to my client, which was a verification of the 8,000 hours that Mr. Needle had put into the underlying case.
Did you argue below that the response to the motion to dismiss was not submitted to your client? That's the first time hearing this.
What I'm arguing, Your Honor, is that we never received any work that Cozen alleges that they had done, and basically it referred to an audit of Mr. Needle's hours. That particular documentation was never put over to us.
Cozen came into this case, and I think there were about 700 docket entries already when Cozen came into the case, and they filed a response to the motion to dismiss that the court had been trying to get for some time. The district court, Judge Pallmeyer, specifically found that work allowed your client to continue pressing its claim in the case. How can you claim, in light of that specific factual finding by the district court, that Cozen didn't do its job here?
I would respectfully submit that it did not lend itself to Mr. Needle recovering any funds or enable him to recover any funds.
But that goes to the merits of his position. The district court specifically found all their alternative was dismissal at that point. And the district court essentially found that Cozen saved the case, and its response to that motion is what led her to deny the motion to dismiss and the case to go forward. That seems like a big benefit to me. And again, there's a specific district court finding on that particular fact.
And we disagree with that specific finding, Your Honor, in that
We give deference to district court findings unless there's some evidence to show otherwise.
Unless there's evidence to show that they're clearly erroneous, if it's a finding of fact. I mean, there are a lot of interesting things in district court's order here. But the court does say Cozen keeps the case alive. And then the court later on, this is the thing that I had been musing about on page 4, says that the reasons for Needle's assignment of his rights to Mayor Brown are a bit of a mystery, but, you know, there it is. She takes it as it is. But depending how things worked out, maybe Cozen's efforts would have provided some benefit. We don't know. I mean, you have to take an ex ante perspective on these things. You can't just say, well, in the end, it didn't work.
Yes, sir. I would also point to the cases that were cited in that they're distinguishable because those were the cases that were cited mostly dealt with forced quits. This Cozen quit voluntarily in this case and is looking to seek recovery.
But Illinois allows quantum merit recovery in that kind of situation. It happens all the time.
I would also submit to Your Honor that the retainer agreement did not specify recovery in the event of leaving. It was open.
Well, that's why it's quantum merit and not on a contract, but okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fesko.
Reserve the rest of my time if there's any need for rebuttal.
That will be fine. Mr. Greenspan.
May it please the court. Good morning. My name is Jeff Greenspan on behalf of Cozen O'Connor. Your Honors, as an initial matter, Cozen's withdrawal didn't preclude it from being compensated under Illinois law, as Your Honors recognize. An attorney that withdraws for good cause is entitled to compensation on a quantum merit basis, and a breakdown in the attorney-client relationship amounts to that good cause. Cozen's petition
Forgive me, Mr. Greenspan. Hello. Did the district court ever actually decide whether Cozen's withdrawal in this case was for good cause?
Your Honor,
I mean, it's specifically noted.
You said, is that specifically noted?
It is not specifically noted, no, Your Honor. But Cozen's petition provided the district court with its reasons for withdrawal and established that it did have good cause. In this case, the petition stated that Cozen wasn't Needle never notified Cozen that another law firm claimed to have a secured interest in Needle's recovery before entering into the agreement, the fee agreement, with Cozen.
Right.
Obviously, that jeopardized Cozen's ability to be paid in the case, but it also created a serious lack of trust between Needle and Cozen, and ultimately a breakdown in the attorney-client relationship, which led to Cozen giving Needle its 30-day notice to withdraw in the case.
Cutting the losses.
I'm sorry.
Basically cutting losses, I suppose, if there was the prior perfected interest.
Correct, Your Honor. But even during that 30-day period, the district court, Judge Palmer, recognized that Cozen continued to vigorously work on Needle's behalf during that time. Appearing in the case, Needle was faced with a motion for default, as Your Honors are aware, and had been sanctioned several times. And Cozen had to familiarize itself with the convoluted history of the case. It drafted pleadings, appeared in court, engaged in settlement efforts.
How long did Cozen continue to work on this case after it learned about the Mayor Brown lien?
Approximately a little over 2.5 months, I'd say.
And that was just because you're disentangling during that period of time?
Well, before we gave our notice, we were trying to work something out with Mr. Needle and the other law firm. Once we learned that that wasn't going to happen, we gave our notice, and then we were obligated to remain on for another 30 days. But in that time period, we continued to work vigorously, as Judge Pallmeyer recognized in the case.
And the 30 days was required by the contract.
By the contract, correct, Your Honor.
So I'm going to go back for just a second, please. So I take it it's your view that the district court That it wasn't necessarily an essential finding that Cozen was withdrawing for good cause before awarding lien because there was enough in the record.
Yes, if you're on, I don't think the Judge Pallmeyer was required to specify a finding that there was good cause, but I do think she was well aware of the reason why we withdrew and that we did have good cause to do so.
And was good cause challenged below? Was
it
that
was not
raised? So she may not have specifically addressed that if it wasn't raised.
Well, we raised it in our petition, Your Honor. We stated
correct,
that,
but they didn't challenge
cause
it.
Correct, Your Honor. That is accurate. Also, contrary to Mr. Needle's argument, the district court's finding that Cozen didn't substantially or primarily produce his share of the fund doesn't render the attorney lien invalid or unenforceable. That's not a requirement under
Illinois. Isn't there some confusion here between what Pennsylvania requires and
correct,
somewhat analogous
Honor.
Circumstances?
Correct, Your Honor. It's in under Illinois law, the attorney's work just needs to assist in that recovery, and Cozen meets that requirement here. As Your Honor previously recognized, at the time, the district court acknowledged that Cozen successfully defended the motion for default, against Royce's motion for default by pressing its claim that it was entitled to more than 50% of the fund. And then ultimately, the district court did award more than 50% of the fund. So there's nothing inconsistent about enforcing the attorney's lien under the Illinois Attorney's Lien Act and finding that Cozen didn't substantially produce Needle's share of the fund. As far as Mr. Needle's argument that it was an abuse of discretion for the court to award its fees without having an evidentiary hearing, the district court has broad discretion in making a determination on attorney's fees. A hearing wasn't necessary in this case. Judge Pallmeyer acknowledged and was very familiar with Cozen's work in the case and the circumstances in which Cozen was appearing. The briefs submitted provided sufficient information for Judge Pallmeyer to render a decision on that. Finally, Mr. Needle makes an argument in his reply and asks why we're defending this appeal. And, you know, aside from having a valid lien, Cozen is defending its integrity in this case. And while Cozen clearly had a disagreement with Needle relating to his truthfulness when he hired Cozen, Cozen gave 100% effort and abided by its duty to faithfully represent him until the court granted Cozen's motion to withdraw. And now Needle's contending that Cozen shouldn't be compensated for that effort, and it's Cozen's position that that's just wrong. And so we'd ask that the district court's decision be affirmed. Thank
you,
Your Honor.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Fusco?
Respectfully, cause was challenged down below. It was absolutely challenged in my initial opposition.
And good cause was?
Yes. Cause.
Do you have a record cite?
I do not have the document cite in front of me, Your Honor. Bear with me one second. I'm looking to see if I have a cite here.
You didn't, when I asked that question of you earlier, you said you did not have, you did not know where in the record it might be, but it was Judge Pallmeyer.
Yes. I submitted opposition. I'm looking for the docket reference, Your Honor. I did submit opposition to that. And it
to
was
the motion to withdraw.
Yes. We challenged cause in that opposition, in our opposition.
Well, by the time the quantum merit award exists, or, you know, the possibility of that thing, she's clearly resolved this point. It's a necessary argument.
Yes, so. Your Honor.
All right. Well, you don't need to waste your time doing that. We will. It's either there or not, and we'll see if it is. So thank you very much. Thanks to all counsel. We'll take this case under advisement.